Game on! He shoots, he scores! Oh. One for one!
That is going wild!
The hockey guys are on the air.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
The hockey guys, the tradition continues.
Okay, guys, show us what you got.
15 seconds left in the Minnesota power play. Well done by Walker to gain the line. McManus shoots, scores! A wicked release, Brandon McManus, and it's Minnesota with the 3-1 lead.
Hey, little M behind the board. That's pretty amazing. You had to play the goal with the power play to score. You should have played a straight up. Did they have any straight up goals yesterday? I was in the office.
I see here it says sweep on the weekend series against ninth ranked Penn State. I don't know much.
Steve, good to have you with us. Hey, cheers. I hear you and Jeff had a little pop on the first episode, so now that you let me out of the closet, cheers.
There we go. Cheers, boys. It's a good morning here on the Hockey Guys. Well,
wow.
Jeff Bradall apparently is allergic to gopher wins because he called me this morning and said, Steve,
he's sick as a dog.
He has the SH, and we're on radio, so I'll keep it clean.
There you go.
But yeah, he wouldn't respond. I said self-induced, and he didn't respond. So I don't know if he was sad because the Gophers won. Or
I don't know.
It could have been the Breezers. Spencer, is that the cutest Breezers you've ever seen?
Hey, those are Breezers of champions.
Have you heard the story on the Breezers?
No.
It's an old school thing.
In 69, Pat Micheletti put this on his account, so it's accurate and true. His brother probably playing in 69, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
They had painted the Gopher benches, or both benches, maroon. So as I refer to Jeff having the SH, the players looked like they had all SH'd their pants when they got done sitting and sweating. When they got up, there was a brown spot on the back of the gold Breezers. Think about playing a game of hockey that in those days probably a little rough and tumble. And, you know, could you imagine Howard Walker going up to somebody and saying, hey, it looks to me like you're afraid of me?
Yeah. Hey, that's 100 years.
100 years of hockey, yeah, this year. That's right.
So how do you play the game of 100 years and still chase the team that started a little bit later? Spence, can you answer that one for us this morning, please?
Excellence doesn't chase.
So Minnesota,
I like that one.
So Minnesota and Michigan. Michigan maybe has a little bit because they're on par with that team to the north. You guys wanted to gang up this morning, Jeff.
Let me ask you.
Come back at you on that one.
Here's what I've always wanted to know about Sioux fans. Why do you have this little brother syndrome with Minnesota?
Right.
Everybody that plays in college hockey hates Minnesota. We all have that syndrome.
You talk to Denver guys. You talk to St. Cloud guys.
My sons. Yeah, the Denver guys and Minnesota guys. Probably because they've been in hockey for 100 years and they think that nobody else has.
Oh, okay. I just think it's interesting because every time something good happens with Minnesota, some UND fans got to take a shot at it for no good reason.
I think it goes both ways. Walk in someday and say, hey, I'm a Sioux fan. As you walk into the Gopher locker room, and you probably don't get much farther.
So. Oh, well, I don't know. I just think it's interesting. That's all right.
I get a little
it's
bit
good fan stuff back and forth.
I get a little bit of grace, you know, maybe some people, but I get a little grace because my father actually skated at Minnesota.
Is that right?
Yep. Oh. Right. He's told the story last year.
So when you understand, I'm probably having a little fun making sure that. Well, Steve, I'll get you caught up. And those that are listening, if you have anything you want to visit this morning, call. Give us a call. Just give us a ring, 271-1100.
That's the story.
And we'll go. So my father's a freshman. Freshman can't play. He's there in 1956. There was a pretty infamous coach. And he went in and said, Coach, this isn't for me. I'm going back to Warroad. I'm going to play for the Warroad Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to help my father in the construction business, and thanks for the opportunity, but I'm done after my first semester.
Mm-hmm.
And a guy named Mary Uch says, Billy, I think you're making the worst decision of your life. In 1960, when my dad won a gold medal, he said to Mary Uch, it looks like I made the right decision.
Mm-hmm.
So the game is probably in a similar state for a lot of folks, Steve. You know, if you make a decision and you believe in it, then I guess your goals
you do it
yours.
Absolutely, and you never look back.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, my You know, the only thing is that my dad doesn't have a pair of gloves, a jersey, a pair of socks, or anything. So I don't know if Mariucci was not happy, or I'm not sure what the story
was.
They had
some rules apparently back in that day about swag and DAP and stuff like that. Hey, I want to let you know that the Hockey Guys is brought to you every week by Cullen Insulation, our presenting sponsor. Cullen Insulation is dedicated to quality from start to finish, so you have nothing to worry about when it comes to your residential or commercial project. Their four locations provide fiberglass, spray foam, rigid foam, waterproofing, and air barrier expertise to a large service area that reaches North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, Northwest Iowa, and Eastern Montana. Cullen Insulation. Find them online at CullenInsulation.com. Can go to the website, request an estimate, find out more about them. They got four locations, Fargo, Grand Forks, Bismarck, and Sioux Falls. That's Cullen Insulation. Well, good to have you with us here on the Hockey Guys. Spencer Jost doing all the real work, so Eddie and I can have some fun. Eddie has been on a two-game suspension for high stick and Spence in the break room, and so he's out of the sin bin now. And back then when our good graces.
And then when I call in, Spence doesn't identify me. You know, took me a little while to get myself untaped.
Well, we paid him money to do it that way.
Got so, the duct tape off. But, you know,
give Eddie some business.
For those that know me, I'm a little shy and quiet, so I don't say
yes,
much.
Indeed. So I was like, well, who's going to do the show? Because I didn't know you were back this week. And Jeff goes, oh, Eddie's back. I'm like, well, why did you need me in the first place then? And he's,
Probably because we wanted to have an opportunity to show the people out in radio world that one Sioux guy can take on too many M fans pretty easily.
Okay. All right. So here we go. We're off and running.
So college hockey.
We're off and running. Good to have you with us here on the program today. We'll give you a look at some scores, give you some standings. It's just kind of nice, Eddie, to have some games to talk about.
Well, I'm not a big TV guy, and as you take a look and everything that's going on, it was pretty awesome to be flipping through the guide. You get the Masters. That was interesting. You flip through, you see some college football, and then all of a sudden, last Friday, you see college hockey.
Mm-hmm.
Friday the 13th. And that was Wisconsin and Notre Dame.
Yeah, played a pair last week.
Started her out. Michigan and Arizona State had done the same. So, yep, finally had a hot college hockey on. So
yep.
It's been a little bit easier because I think all of us mentally are saying, hey, there's got to be something that you can turn to, look at, watch, and kind of feel like you're participating in something, so to speak.
Yeah,
so Ed, we have a caller who would like you to finish a story. We got Mitch on the line here.
Mitch,
like,
what's going on?
So, Eddie, how did your dad get the exposure after he left Minnesota?
You know,
to make it to the Olympic team.
You know, that's a great question, but if you go back and look at the laurels of USA Hockey, a guy named Cal Marvin probably had more college hockey building folks come through a little town of Warroad, either coaching or playing for the Warroad Lakers, than any place in the country.
By building, you mean facilities or just growing a program?
He had the Warroad Lakers playing in the Canadian Amateur Senior League system, which was the predecessor league to the Stanley Cup. So he was able to expose players across the game of hockey.
How about that?
And coaches. So, Mitch, you probably have a better idea of the names, but, you know, when you go through Murray, Johnson, I mean, you go through a list of coaches that went on to impact college hockey, the game was pretty small, and for those 100-year-old schools, they weren't exactly placing guys into college and Olympic hockey. So
no, and I kind of know the story, but I wanted you to expound a little because that's exactly right. When he went back to the Lakers, that's the exposure I was kind of getting at. That there was exposure there. That was a well-known, you know, the organization, Cal's Lakers, that was it.
Yeah, to have a U.S. hockey team winning a championship in Canada and being allowed to stay in the league, Mitch, was a pretty awesome deal, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, well,
you know, the Allen Cup, the Hardy Cup, the names on them are pretty obvious for those of us that grew up watching it. But when you could take a look, I mean, as a kid growing up in northern Minnesota, Warroad didn't have facilities, so Mitch, you got exposed a little bit because when they played in that 74 championship series, they had to go where there was artificial ice. And in those days, yeah, not every rink had it. So Thief River was the Minneapolis, right? You guys had some facilities. So
was going to say for as many games up at the old garden. I mean, and when we played in there, yeah, cold, hard, fast ice. But we used to go up and watch the Lakers, obviously, when we were kids, too. And even as we got older, you know, we used to ride up with Tommy Goddard to watch him play in it. It was awesome. That was just good hockey.
All right, Mitch. Hey, buddy. Right, thanks for giving a call. Great to hear from you this morning. Good question. Good story. Had those kids up skating with the big kids. Some good stuff.
You know, when you come out of high school and you're done with your high school and you're playing in Thunder Bay and Thunder Bay's roster is ex-NHLers, you probably realize how to protect yourself and make sure that you don't say something foolish.
You grow up in a hurry, don't you? All right, let's take a look at the scoreboard from last night. There were some games across college hockey. As you know, the schedules are it's a weird deal, man. You just get games where you can when you can. There were three games postponed because of concerns about, as you know very well, coronavirus is the big concern. But Big Ten played, Hockey East, they got one game in, and then there was a non-conference game as well. So in the Big Ten, Minnesota 3-2 over Penn State. You heard the goal as we opened up the program to this morning, Brandon McManus, his power play goal about midway through the second, put the Gophers up 3-1. They go on to win it by a score of 3-2 after winning 4-1 the night before, so Minnesota gets a sweep to start off their year. The Gophers, by the way, last night in that game, Eddie, I don't know if you saw this, they got a goal with 1 second to go in the first period. They were already up 2-0. Sammy Walker with 1 second to go.
0.8.
Lights the lamp. Yeah, less than a second. 0.8
if you're being technical, yeah.
Yeah, and that made it 2-1. Actually, they weren't up 2-1 at the time. It was 1-1 at the time. But I know that typically hockey people will say, you score a goal in that final minute of the period, and that's like you gave up two. So 2-1 after one, and then 3-1, and then finally 3-2 was the final there. Other scores in college hockey, Michigan 2-1 over Wisconsin. By the way, Minnesota 10, Penn State 9 in the rankings. Michigan, 6th ranked, beat Wisconsin 2-1 in overtime. Massachusetts 5-1 over Connecticut. I guess Spencer doesn't mess around with that clock, Eddie.
No, no. I was flagging you. I was flagging you.
All right, so we got hard breaks in this show. All right, so rock and roll. Let me just finish up scoreboard here. Hockey Guys brought to you every Saturday morning by Cullen Insulation. Thanks to the gang at Cullen Insulation for getting this show up and rolling every Saturday. Michigan State beat Arizona State in non-conference puck. 2-0 was the final score there. And, Eddie, I'm gapping on this one, but Arizona State, how long have they had that program going there at D1?
I would say this is going to be year three.
Okay.
And then I'll add to a little kind of off the radar one, but Long Island University announced in the spring, played their first game.
Long Island, they would say,
this,
out there.
This week. And actually won their first D1 hockey game.
Hey.
Brand new program in a small school on the East Coast. And
good
actually,
job,
yeah, beat. Here's a fun one.
Who'd
for
they
you.
Beat?
Gopher fans. Holy Cross, if that name is ever coming to your wheelhouse.
Yeah.
So I would suggest that Minnesota be rolling, but if they play Long Island, they may be in trouble because they beat Holy Cross. So in the game of stats, you know, everybody keeps stats. Long Island used surfers. He would probably kick the Gophers. But anyway. That's connecting the dots through Holy Cross.
In your world, that's how it would happen there. So taking a look, we've had a few games now in the Big Ten, so let's catch up on Big Ten standings. Wisconsin has played four games. They have two regulation wins and then an overtime loss and a regulation loss. So by virtue of the point system, they have 7 points. They lead the Big Ten. Minnesota at 6 points after the two wins here this past weekend. And Minnesota now gets, a day off, and then they're back a couple of days off. They play Ohio State in a couple of home games on Monday and Tuesday. So that's how they're doing it in the Big Ten this year. I think it's a little weird, but, oh, well, I guess you give the kids 2 days off. Those young legs will be fine. And then finishing up the standings there, you got Michigan at 5 points, and then Michigan State, Penn State, Notre Dame, Ohio State, no points. Penn State and Notre Dame have played two but lost two. Michigan State and Ohio State have not yet played a conference game there. So let's look at Big Ten standings. NCHC will get together down in the Omaha bubble, or the Omaha pod, I guess they're calling it, Eddie.
Yeah, the pod. And good news this week, they will all be televised. Midco's got them all.
I heard that was
get them all. So okay. that's probably as big a news as anything.
Yeah, I heard that was in the works. But
for those of you that are sitting and have access, you're probably going to get some morning games, some afternoon games, and some day games. But overall, that's probably as important as anything to allow the games to get out and have people being able to enjoy the game of hockey.
Yeah. Big Ten, by the way, going with a very abbreviated schedule for now. I don't know if they're going to add games later, but they've only, like Minnesota's only got 8 games on their schedule for the whole season. And I took a look at Wisconsin. They've got 12. And so I know the Big Ten has been a little more conservative, if you will, about having kids get out and play and practice and all that stuff. So NCHC is still planning to go with a full schedule.
Well, and again, you know, it's been noted that typically Minnesota would not start with Michigan or
no.
Wisconsin wouldn't start with Notre Dame.
Yeah, you play Lake Superior or somebody like that.
You know, you basically had a probably 2 to 3 week schedule that has been left open. I believe the Big Ten would
like
the opportunity to see who's number one and then try to scramble the schedule. That's what would be my guess. So,
well, from what I was seeing, that they were going to do weeks at a time.
And little M on the board, can you tell me who's at the top of that rank list presently?
I don't know. I think they sent
top
that
of
one.
That rank list. What do you mean?
Well, in the
number one team.
In the polls, the number one team.
Does so that take, one team from?
As you take a look at the University of North Dakota,
you just can't handle talking about Minnesota for more than 30 seconds.
No, Minnesota's going to want to play the teams that are in the top. So you got Boston College number two. So I think the Big Ten is trying hard to give themselves the opportunity to see who they need to play to try to. Now the unknown question is will there be a Frozen Four?
Let's get through weekend.
Who knows?
Weekend, week yeah. out.
So well, that may be their strategy, Steve. I'm kind of thinking they're maybe leaving this open to schedule. There's a lot of rivalry games. There's a lot of tradition games. There's a lot of things I think that need to go on because, again, absolutely. I don't know that leagues on their own can necessarily stand on their own.
Well, the problem is the NCHC is a league that was designed for hockey. By hockey people, hockey programs, they want to play. You look at the UND schedule. And they've got everything all the way down through the Frozen Four in Pittsburgh, April 8th through the 10th. Minnesota is an all-sports conference designed by people who sweat about academics and all those things. And I guess that's obviously part of the story, but it's not the primary focus for existing. In the NCHC, it is all about hockey by hockey schools, and they're going to play come heck or high water. Minnesota's a little more, quote-unquote, politically correct. And so, therefore, you get an 8-game schedule, so we'll see what happens. I can only hope that this year, somehow, Moscow's boys and Bubs' boys up in Grand Forks get a chance to skate. we want that so bad. Even when Minnesota struggled the last few years, you're always happy that they play.
It has the potential to set up probably in what I would call what most hockey purists would like to see is a traditional-type playoff system with 4 teams in the final that would probably create one of the best opportunities to have some excitement in a lot of years, not only because of what's going on with the coronavirus, but more specifically just what's happened and how college hockey has grown and expanded across the United States in the college game.
We can only hope that at the end of the year, somehow somebody will say, let's get all the Minnesota teams together for a tournament. Bring over the boys from Grand Forks. Let's have it out with whatever there are, 7, 8 teams there. Let's play something. Kind of like I said this past week when they shut down all the Minnesota high school sports as of midnight last night. I said, you know what? Friday should just be a state holiday in Minnesota. Everybody go find a game somewhere. Just even if the other team hasn't played, they're done for the year. They lost. Well, just play. That's what we want to see. Just play. And, you know, the virus, I don't think, is smart enough to know if you're going to play 2 extra games against UND or against Minnesota.
And a little shout-out, and this is awful, but East Grand Forks did that on Thursday, and they had a football game last night. I don't know if you caught that, but I don't know who they picked up, but it was 2 different division teams that ended up saying, hey, we both want to have 1 extra game.
So are we saying this is unofficial hockey day?
Could be.
Yeah,
I think for
everyone
for,
in the region, Duluth, UND, Gophers.
Maybe the flag should rent out an arena and we'll hold our own tournament. Invite Motzko, invite Brad Berry.
Well, I can keep you posted, but I now have full ice coverage on the pond, so if we can get the weather to cooperate, we've got the pond because and it's been interesting.
Yes.
I think that's the first set of applause for Spencer in a couple of years, so thank you.
Mm-hmm.
It's just into watching the game. I can't imagine what the players are going through. And, you know, last week, Jeff and yourself kind of got into a little bit and talking about the border and moving and, you know, the NHL. And if you're watching things happening, it looks like people can get across, but pets can't. But that's a goaltender trying to get to Vancouver. His turtles didn't have the proper.
Oh, very nice.
But
yeah,
when you take a look at, I think this is going to be extremely interesting as you have college players on leagues that canceled. I mean, there's leagues that are not going to play any games. You've got Long Island coming in that started their deal and they're kind of a somewhat attached but unattached, I think, in the first couple of years. And then you take a look at players that are now going back to the USHL. You're taking a look at the Canadians that got allowed to come across the border to come into the USHA cities. I know that I've got a little bit of a relationship with BCHL after having my boys play up. And, you know, if you wanted to take an American and send him to the BCHL this year, it's not happening. They're going to keep it from, they've got their restrictions on, et cetera. So it's kind of a bizarre.
It's a one-way street.
It's kind of a bizarre world.
Right? Mm-hmm. And there's a handful of local kids who have been kind of caught up in that and really good kids who normally would be in the USHL or in the NHL. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but it's not the level of play.
And then in the concept of that, you know, as you begin to look, I mean, I had a son that played 2 years. He was older as a thing, so he comes out of college at May and in June turns 25. you could potentially have 26-year-old participating seniors in the college game based on the coronavirus impact. Mm-hmm. You know, you play a year of college, you come back and finish a couple of years of juniors because you're allowed, and then you go back to college and play three. You could be 27 years
That's
old.
That's crazy.
30-year-old rookie.
And yet, we'll talk with Coach Motzko on the next segment at 8:35. We're going to have Coach Motzko on. Appreciate him coming on because there's a lot of stress with playing, I think, a Thursday-Friday schedule and then trying to figure out how you're going to put it back together. As Steve mentioned, Monday night you're back on again. But, you know, how do you take a look? He's got an 18-year-old defenseman plan. And potentially, when you take a look at how this works, you would have an 18-year-old and a 26-year-old. Now, there's not a lot of things in life you know, but you know a few things. A lot of that comes with a little bit of, you know, the road of hard knocks, I guess, or whatever. But it'll be interesting. I think it's going to be there's going to be a long hangover from coronavirus in the game of college hockey.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned that Minnesota team. They're super young still. There's five seniors on the roster, but most of that nucleus is freshmen and sophomores. That sophomore class, obviously, is the one that is kind of showing up a little bit here this year. So they still got some growing up to do. And like you say, you know, when you're 18, 19 years old going against a guy who's been shaving for 10 years, that's a little bit of a different deal.
I don't know if you pay that much attention. I get in trouble because some days I watch the game, but there's a lot of stoppages. And if you scan the Minnesota bench, there is a big difference in facial hair and maturity.
Yeah.
And it shows up pretty easily if you just kind of pay attention a little bit. So
now, I think Bobby Motzko has said in the past, you know, look, I'm not after every kid who's going to turn pro after 1 year. I want those kids that will grow in the system, learn, develop, play, that might be here for 3, maybe 4 years, who knows. And it served him well along the way. We'll see what happens going forward here this year.
And again, anybody out that has a question you'd like to have us look at, you have an opinion on what we talked about, the border, the one way going south and the closed border going north, give us a shout here at the Flag, 271-1100. And we'll be back with Coach Bob Motzko at the break at 8:35.
Welcome back to the Hockey Guys. It's brought to you every Saturday morning by Cullen Insulation. Good to have you with us here on the program. 701-271-1100 is our phone number. That's 701-271-1100. We are pleased now to welcome to the program Minnesota Gopher head coach Bob Motzko. Bob, in his third year, leading the Gophers into battle in their 100th college hockey season. Coach Moscow, congratulations on the sweep. A couple of nice wins over Penn State. A top 10 battle. You guys came out on top both nights. What was the key to getting a couple of victories?
Well, anytime you get two wins to start a season, it's great, especially, you know, with our 100th season. There's a lot of excitement, you know, inside our program and with our alumni and our fan base. So it was just a solid start for us. We got a lot of returning players. We're deep in all areas. Starts with goaltending. Jack LaFontaine, we thought, was outstanding this weekend. And gave us a chance. You hold a team to two or under every night, you're going to have a real good chance. And that's what happened for us this weekend.
You're listening to the Hockey Guys. Steve Hallstrom here, along with Ed Christian, Jeff Bradall. We've suspended him for one game, so Jeff will be back after he sits in the corner and thinks again a little bit about what he's done.
But I'm not so sure Jeff didn't jump in and steal Spence's board with that hurt so good that opened this segment. So I don't know how Jeff's playing with that soundboard up there, Spence, but obviously that's not a song you would know.
From back in the day.
Hey, Motz, good to have you on. Hey.
Hi, Ed, how are you doing?
You're looking better behind the bench. You actually are moving, so your knee surgery must have went well last summer.
Oh, yeah. It was long overdue. Glad I had it done.
So are you and I going to be seeing each other in men's league now that you're able to skate again, or?
No, I never would be close to as fast as you, Ed, and I know you could skedaddle.
But I'd come back. I'd come back and play. I keep telling the guys that keep asking me, I said, when I turn 60, I'll probably tell them it's 70, Bob. I don't need to do that. I enjoy watching the young kids that are better than we were.
Yeah.
So it's hard.
I'm with you.
It's hard to miss it. Coach, I'm going to do what I do. You had a big win across the street last night in the big house with the Gopher football team. And if I heard correctly, they were dressing 25 players short due to COVID and coronavirus.
So how do you
manage the next 2 days is my question.
Well, I think, one, we don't have as many players. I think when you've got 100, I think they have some of it, like 150 people coming and going, you know, inside their facility, back through the campus. And a large coaching staff, same thing. And, I mean, I know it's out that I had the virus. So, like, hopefully I'm done. And you know, we have a smaller staff, smaller group of people, and obviously we've had some guys that have had it. So we think it's more manageable the smaller your group. But is it going to affect us at some point? Yes. But football, I just think, you know, and they're doing the best they can. And you just follow what happens around the country. Just large numbers. I mean, if there's one thing that's teaching us, we have to stay away from large numbers of people. And football, you listen to the analysts, they think they're doing better than they thought. They are going to find a way to get through their season. And that's all you do. You hope we know we're doing a good job on the university. And I won't go real long on it, but most of the contact tracing is gone. That's not happening in weight rooms, locker rooms, you know, in facilities. It happens with guys in their apartments. A lot of it's traced to living together, people that ride, in the car together. And, you know, it's out there, and we all have to be cognizant of it right now. But it's up to our players, once they leave our facilities, to be smart. And right now, for the last couple of weeks, we've got a group that's been real, real diligent, and we're moving forward.
Well, Coach, you know, we've all been in college. We've all been kids. So the question is, as great as all of that is, you still have to have a bunch of individuals that say, hey, we're buying into making sure that we're doing things. Because, again, when I came through, there was a difference between the river that one age was 18 and the other side was 21. So you knew where the world was at, right? And every weekend, I think the college coaches were all saying, okay, we don't want to see anything in the press run that identifies anybody within our program. And I think if you look at coronavirus, it's not any different than going through those situations, that you have two big wins and the game is great, but yet the mental side is that it's pretty hard to put everybody in their own little box and say, hey, you can't talk to anybody, because that's not the team game, as you know. So you got some young guys actually got a chance to catch the games because of how things were set up. When in the world that you're in, probably I'll ask the question, but to see McManus and Reedy come out and probably as seniors pull those younger guys along, how important is that for you as the coach to see that happen?
Well, on a lot of fronts. I mean, in Munson, Gallifrey scored this weekend. Reedy had a big week and with a couple of goals. To get that first goal of the year, too, let's say it gets the monkey off the back. You have to have that. If it presses on, then it starts to give you a brain. So it's great that those guys got that first goal, and one, it helped our team immensely, but it settles them in for the season. Munson really had a couple of goals for us at the end last year, and Reedy was our leading goal scorer. McManus was our second leading scorer, and that leads the way. And then Sammy, Walker gets the big goal last night, and McLaughlin a couple. It feeds itself. One, you win a couple games, you start getting some points. Guys feel good about themselves, and for us, there's no rest for the weary because we play again Monday night. Something I haven't done since junior hockey. Played four games in 6 nights, so away we go.
And coach, I think probably again the other thing watching and starting the season. Normally, you would probably have a chance to get everybody in, look at some different lineups, look at some different matchups, playing some non-conference games. But explain how different this is walking in your first game is in your conference with a significant meaning and impact. So how do you manage that?
Oh, I think the big thing that happened, Ed, was the fact we've been off for 8 months, maybe going on 9 months. I don't think we cared who we played. We just wanted to put the jerseys on, get back out there, but it's the same for everybody. Nobody's having those exhibition games and warm-ups. The fact we have a veteran group, we only have 4 freshmen and 3 were in the lineup, and did very well for us. That bodes well for us. And every college team, when you've got a veteran team, it gives you a chance to get off to a pretty decent start. And even saw Penn State, who lost an enormous amount from last year. They were much better from Friday night than they were Thursday night. And, all teams are going to adjust. I think we had a little advantage with the returning players, and we needed to use that, and we did.
Coach, tell us a little bit about your team. As you kind of watch the guys start skating here in the fall and waited for those first games to come along, I'm sure as a coach, there's some things you know and some things you don't. What did you learn about your team in these first couple of games where you say, you know what, this position group, we might be a little stronger than we thought, or maybe you say, well, here's a position where we're going to have to cinch it up a little bit because we didn't get maybe what we thought we would going into the season?
Well, the first thing that we learned and we kind of knew it was there was the camaraderie and the closeness of our team. And that doesn't happen on every team every year, I can tell you that. And we really got a special group of guys, and they're tight, they're focused, they're energetic, they're committed to each other in this season. And that was on the forefront from the get-go. We've got depth. We've got depth, we think, in all 4 lines. And we used it this weekend where all the lines were productive for us. We are young on D. We have one defenseman. Robbie Stocker.
Hey, Coach, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I don't know if you're in a weird spot in the building or that phone's getting down on your chin just a little bit, but you've been muffled just a hair. If there's anything you can do, that would be great. Thanks for putting up with us on that.
Well, I'll try to move around the house here. We have a young D core, and that D core is surprising us at how well they're great skaters. We knew our transition game would be good. We felt that happen this weekend. And it's going to take a bit, from an offensive side, but we're playing a lot of freshmen and sophomores, enormous amount of talent, but they're going to come quick. And then you got a good, strong goaltender. So we think we're deep in all areas. We didn't give a goal up on the penalty kill. We got 2 in the power play last night. So it's things that coach would want to talk about after a weekend. A lot of those things happen for us.
Coach, that culture piece you talked about, how can you orchestrate that as a coach? Sometimes it just comes together, but most of the time, if you want that, you've got to do some things to tell the kids, hey, this is a family. You got to buy into that. You got to sell out for each other. How have you tried to nurture that so you can have a group as cohesive as it seems like this one is?
Well, a lot of it starts in recruiting. You really know who you're bringing into your program. A little change. I don't know if it's a change as much as, an identity we wanted. Like Johnny Sorensen scored this weekend. He wasn't highly heralded out of high school playing up in Anchorage in the North American League, but had a tremendous season and high character. Was a very good high school football player. You know, we've added some pieces to that that really bring energy to the group. Of course, we're going to recruit the best and the best talent that we believe fits in there, but we also look for those pieces of character that really bring that energy to the room, and we feel that we've got that. And you know, you preach from a coaching staff and you about the importance of playing for each other, and you got so many, you know, stories that you can tell the guys, but it's really when you've got the character of guys that you feed off of, and we've got that right now.
Coach, you mentioned recruiting and bringing players in, and in your situation, you've had a little bit of change in your assistant coaching ranks. So as you look at that and moving forward, how does that play into what you just mentioned about going to find and seek out, and how do you keep that culture intact, I guess?
Well, you got to be coherent. Your staff's got to be tight. I'm so fortunate that I've had such great assistant coaches. Garrett Reboyne stayed with me. Was my captain at St. Cloud. I know you know him, Eddie. He's just a great young man and a great coach. Ben Gordon, who I coached at Minnesota, was in the business. It was a great addition to add. We get Paul Martin back with us this year. After a long pro career, he wants to finish his degree. Just been a treat to have Paul back with us as well. So you surround yourself with good people. It's no different in business. It's no different in the family. You get good people around you. You've got good hearts, good character. Good things are going to happen.
Coach, what is it like knowing that your season is 8 games long and then you're not exactly sure what's going to happen after that? And what are you being told about what might happen after that?
Well, we've been told the second half schedule is going to come out a week ago and then this week, and I know they're working on it. I've been on some calls with my athletic director who's working on that, and I know they want to get the second half schedule. I think not in the problem they had the second half was basketball and hockey. A lot of them want, you know, they don't want two teams at home at the same night if they can help it. It's a little different year because of parking. Like, usually we can't be at home when football's at home, but we could yesterday. Obviously, there's plenty of room to park right now. But it was about facilities, and once the basketball schedule was done, now they're going to complete our schedule, and I think you should look for it to be out. I'm going to hope it's out in the next week.
Coach, when you take a look that the Big Ten is, you know, there, you got the NCHC that is going into the pod model. You know, has there been any discussion on trying to figure out how to get away from just being league play, or is that going to be not happening this year?
It's not going to happen this year, and we were really, you know, we were disappointed with it. We did add Arizona State for 4 games, which will put us up to 28. So we're going to have a healthy schedule, as many as most people are playing in the country, and that's the most important. And it's the year. We're all adjusting to it. That's the nature of what's going to happen to every sport. It is what it is, and we accept it, and we move on.
Coach, we appreciate you being on this morning. Just going to take a 2-second, hey, compliments out to your previous assistant at St. Cloud State, Mike Gibbons, getting tired of you talking to him, so he decided to get back in college hockey.
So, how about Gibby? I say he was the most celebrated coach in history. He got the farewell a few months ago, now he's got the welcome back.
Coach, we appreciate you staying on with us. We're up against a heartbreak. We'll reach out to you. Yeah. Keep playing well and get the young guys going.
You got it.
Thanks, Coach. Guys.
8:49, Hockey Guys, and when we come back, got a couple of finishing thoughts. Look ahead to what comes next for some, like Minnesota. It's coming up pretty soon. Your calls welcome as well, 701-271-1100, 271-1100. Let us know what's on your mind. Hockey Guys coming back right after this on AM 1100, The Flag.
Welcome back.
Hockey Guys brought to you by Cullen Insulation. Glad to have them riding with us every week here on the Hockey Guys. Bob Mosco's a guy, Eddie Christian, that It doesn't matter what team, what program you're part of. It seems like everybody has got a soft spot in their heart for Bob Mosca. Why is that, do you think?
You know, he's just who he is. Pretty accessible. Not too high on himself at all. And you know, overall in the game of activity sports and coaches, I think he's an ultimate, maybe a little bit like the guy in the big house across the street. He's the consummate recruiter.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're kind of that's who you are and you can be yourself and you have the title of head coach, that probably means that's where he's at. So he kind of just seems that way.
A little more down to earth maybe than the guy across the street. I don't know.
The guy across the street has never had the opportunity to have people ask simple questions. You know, technical stat questions are easy, but I don't know. I guess Bob is just, maybe he's a guy that appreciates where he started and where he's at, if that makes sense. You know, mm-hmm. a guy that Southern Minnesota coming out of Austin where hockey wasn't exactly the top activity or sport.
No, that's for sure.
It's opened some doors for him. And I threw out at the end there, Steve, about Mike Gibbons. Mike Gibbons has been around the game of college hockey and played and was an assistant at St. Cloud State. And in that conversation this week, it was announced that he's going up to join Bemidji State back to his alma mater as an assistant. They had somebody that left. So Gibby's back in the game, and I thought I'd give Bob a little shot for whispering his ear too much to quit calling him.
Got time for a quick phone call yet? 701-271-1100 if you want to get in. Question, comment before we finish up. Take a look at the scoreboard. What's going on tonight? Massachusetts ranked 7th, hosts Connecticut. BC's at New Hampshire tonight at 6. You got Michigan Tech and Lake Superior. Those two games, first two in the Hockey East, by the way. Non-conference puck, you got Michigan Tech and Lake Superior at 4 o'clock. And then Alabama Huntsville and Robert Morris at 6 o'clock. Bowling Green takes on Adrian at 6 o'clock as well. Bowling Green ranked 19th in the country.
And Adrian at D3 school, so probably one of the few games that are kind of in that thing that we would call the ability to see what your team's like before you roll into conference play. And then, has been happening, there's some college teams that are in flux. You know, the RPIs and some of that Hockey East stuff going on. They are, you know, in essence now in a holding pattern with nothing. So it is going to be an interesting year watching the game of college hockey. And yet now in the world for some of us, now it's on. Now we're seeing every league open up. So now if you want to get on, the great part is there's a lot of college hockey on TV.
That's a good thing.
You can't go in person, but.
Say, who is the biggest threat to UND in the NCHC this year?
You know, great question. I would suggest that when you take a look at it, the perennials, you know, Duluth. I got to believe that Scotty's going to come back and reload. Mm-hmm. I've got to believe that St. Cloud State thinks that they're now with a group of guys, Western, always in it, just injuries and some of that affected. And, of course, Denver is always tough, so it'll be interesting to see after the first probably weekend or first couple of weekends in that pod.
Mm-hmm. You know,
it's going to be great format for trying to figure out your question.
Yeah, and Midco, I guess, has got all the games now, so be able to see them all.
Yeah,
that's a good thing.
Can you imagine that scheduling? And as I think I saw, they're getting their announcers and everybody in there so they
yep,
can.
They got to do it too.
They can follow what I'd call the NHL model.
Yeah, so no in and no out, baby.
I think there may be a few guys that'll be a little weak on the voice.
Oh, I tell you, as a broadcaster, though, I'd love it. I mean, for 3 weeks doing nothing but calling hockey games, that is as good as it gets, you know, and a chance for maybe some guys to refine their skills a little bit. You talked about Scotty Sandlin up at Duluth. He used to be able to get away with, well, you know, we can't get the guys at UND in Minnesota. But I think now their program is at the place where they are one of those elite recruiting teams as well, don't you?
You know, if you do what Scotty's done, you don't need to talk about it.
Yeah.
So you have the leaders that are vocal and you have the leaders that are silent. So he's been matching most of the programs in the country, getting guys to the next level. So I call it self-perpetuation. Once you get in where you're moving people through, it just kind of starts rolling and stays on, and the game gets good for your program.
Absolutely. UND, by the way, opens up with Miami on December 2nd. That's a Wednesday, so that'll be a little weird. 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Wednesday. But such is life in 2020.
I'm assuming you're having a viewing party here at the station for that one, aren't you?
Probably could.
Yes.
Get that simulator in the other
Spencer,
room.
We'll put Spencer in charge. Hey,
yeah,
Steve, I appreciate it. I understand Steve had a choice between Beth Hoole and Ed Christian coming out of the closet, and he chose Ed, so I appreciate that. Thanks, Steve.
Don't say Beth Hoole and out of the closet. You're going to get people talking that way. Come on now, Ed. No, good to be in with you, and Jeff will be back in next week. Eddie will be here as well. It's been fun to sit in for a couple weeks on the Hockey Guys. Thanks to Spencer Jost for getting her done. Be back next Saturday morning. Stay tuned for Flag Sports Saturday.